Okay. Hello, everybody. I'm Irene. I'm an addict and I'm chair of your world board. Welcome to today's webinar on Sponsorship Day. We'd like to begin with a moment of silence, followed by the Serenity Prayer.
سلام به همگی اسم
God,
من
grant us the
آیرین
serenity
است
to accept the things we cannot change, the courage to change the things we can,
کاری
and the wisdom to know the difference.
دیفرنس
Okay, thank you. So this meeting is being simultaneously translated into Farsi, Italian, Portuguese, and Spanish. Thank you very much to our translators for your service today. We're streaming the audio of this meeting in English, Spanish, Portuguese, and Mixlr today. The links for those streams are posted on the NAWS webinar page, www.na.org/webinar, and are in the chat for this meeting. Attendees will be muted through the whole meeting to minimize disruption. The chat is open now, but it will only be possible to chat with the meeting hosts once the sharing portion of the meeting begins. Everyone, including the English speakers, will need to select a language by clicking on the globe icon on the bottom of your screen. It will be appearing in just a minute. If you're an English speaker, please select English. If you are a Farsi, Italian, Portuguese, or Spanish speaker, please select your language by clicking on the globe icon. Can we hear that in Farsi, please?
سلام اگر شما انگلیسی زبان هستید باید روی شکلک انگلیسی بزنید برای انتخاب زبانتون و اگر زبانهای دیگه ای رو میخواهید انتخاب کنید روی شکلک کره زمین و زبانهای دیگر انتخاب کنید.
Thank you. And in Italian?
Ciao a tutti, Tino Dipendente. Vi apparirà un'icona a forma di globo al basso dello schermo. Se cliccate poi ascolto in italiano, ascolterete l'audio in italiano. Grazie.
Grazie. In Portuguese, please.
Olá, boa tarde a todos. Sejam bem-vindos a essa reunião dos Serviços Mundiais do Dia do Apadrinhamento. Daqui a pouco a gente vai iniciar o áudio sendo traduzido. Vocês vão precisar escolher um idioma. Na barra de ferramentas do Zoom tem um globo, clicar. Escolher o idioma que vocês gostariam de escutar. Muito obrigado e sejam bem-vindos.
Obrigada. And can we have it in Spanish, please?
Y buenos días. Bienvenidos a todos y a todas al webinario sobre el padrinazgo. Todos, incluidos los angloparlantes, deberán seleccionar un idioma haciendo clic en el icono del globo en la parte inferior de la pantalla cuando aparezca en un momento. Si habla inglés, seleccione inglés. Si habla farsi, italiano, portugués o español, seleccione su idioma haciendo clic en el icono del globo. Muchas gracias.
Sorry, do we have Ukrainian?
Yes, but I don't see the features for the translators. I don't know what to pick.
Okay, I can make an announcement. Всім привіт. Буде переклад на наступні мови, це українська, іспанська, португальська, італіянська, фарсі. І навіть якщо ви там розмовляєте англійською, вам для того, щоб слухати мову, якою ви хочете, треба буде нажати на глобус, це іконка перекладу, і вибрати мову, якою ви хочете слухати.
Thank you, Sasha. Now that everyone can experience the meeting in their own language, we would just like to let you know that we are meeting today live from the World Service Office in Chatsworth, California. We are currently having a board meeting, and we would like to take this opportunity to introduce you to our World Board members from around the world, starting with Paul Fitzgerald. F.
Hi, my name is Paul. I'm an addict and a member of your World Board, and I live in England.
Hello, everybody. I'm your World Board member. Thank you.
Irene, both you and the room are muted.
So Kui, and I serve on the World Board.
Hello, my name is Jack. I'm an addict. I live in Bellingham, Washington. Glad to be with all of you here today.
Okay, thank you. We've now asked Eduardo, our board member from Brazil, to do our reading.
Eduardo, an addict. For many of us, our first truly spiritual connection to another human being occurs when we open up and share honestly with our sponsors. The support and love we receive when we walk together on our journey through the 12 steps helps to free us from the self-centered fear that lies at the core of our disease. Sponsorship offers us a pathway to a change and a bridge to develop other relationships. Thank you.
Thank you, Eduardo. So before we hand the meeting over to today's speakers, we want to share a few updates with you. Many of you have been asking when the World Convention will be going on sale. We don't have an exact date yet, but we're working towards making the registration and hotel rooms available before the end of the year. You can find all of the current information about the convention, including how to subscribe to email updates at na.org/WCNA. We currently have several surveys posted on the projects and surveys webpage, which is at na.org/survey. We're looking for input on possible revisions to H&I basics, volunteers with experience in several different areas, including the World Convention, and the results of your workshops, please, on the current issue discussion topics. So please visit the website page if you'd like to get involved.
Irene, I'm sorry, can you please slow down a little bit on the reading?
We have material posted for two of the issue discussion topics at na.org/IDT. And these are gender neutral and inclusive language in NA literature and dealing with disruptive and predatory behavior. We're working on two more that we hope to have posted soon. Drug replacement therapy and medically assisted treatment as it relates to NA, and reimagining and revitalizing service committees. Back in July, we posted notice of our intention to repackage the chapters on the 12 steps from NA literature as a series of booklets that will be sold as boxed sets. We're calling it the NA Survival Kit and expect to have it available for purchase next year. Repackaging NA literature in this way is permitted according to the policy contained in the Fellowship Intellectual Property Trust, which requires a 120-day notice period before publishing the product. That period has now expired, so we will be moving forward with what we hope will be a useful recovery tool. We're in the process of moving to a new system for providing meeting information on na.org. Instead of trying to maintain accurate information for the more than 72,000 meetings in over 140 countries around the world, our website and Meeting Finder app will refer people to local websites and phone lines for meeting information. Local trusted servants are being asked to contact us at nadata@na.org. That's nadata@na.org, if they have not already done so. More information can be found in the recording of the web meeting we hosted a few weeks ago. This is posted at na.org/meeting search. We're able to provide free services such as this meeting today in part because of members' generous contributions to NA World Services. You can make a contribution at na.org/give. Recurring contributions are the most sustainable form of income for World Services. Thank you for considering this. Before I introduce our speakers today, I'm going to ask that all the translators to speak again. So if we can have that in Farsi. If you can just let your participants know in your language to press the globe icon at the bottom of their screen for their language in Farsi. And in Italian, and if you can just do that in your interpretation feed, in Portuguese and Spanish, if you can remind people, please, about the globe icon.
I think they need to do it in the okay. English feed.
So hopefully everybody is in their language feed. So for today's meeting, we've asked 6 members to share their experience of sponsorship in NA with us today. As with previous webinars, we will post the audio recording to the NAWS web meeting page at na.org webinar sometime after today's meeting.
So, Irene,
we've tried again to select speakers that reflect the diversity we all benefit from in NA and are grateful to them all for their willingness to come and share with us. So without further ado, I will turn it over to one of our newest board members, Carla from Wyoming.
And before you start,
I'm an addict. Sure.
Before you start, Carla, I just want to remind everyone, especially our speakers, to make sure that they have selected a language, mostly English, but you will need to be in one of those language feeds. Okay. Thanks, Carla.
And Nick, I'm sorry to remind all the speakers also to please speak slowly in blocks so the translators can keep up with you. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. I'm an addict named Carla. Let me start my clock here. Thank you so much for asking me to share. It's very nervous. I still am nervous. I wasn't as nervous until I saw all the things popping up on the screen. I had a quote pulled up here. This is what I first thought of when they asked me to speak. And it says, out of our basic text, what can I do? At the end of the chapter, Experience shows clearly that those who get the most out of Narcotics Anonymous program are those to whom sponsorship is important. Sponsorship responsibilities are welcomed by us and accepted as opportunities to enrich our personal NA experience. And I wanted to talk a few things about what came to mind for me is not only was asking someone to sponsor me in the very beginning essential to my program, essential to me learning the Narcotics Anonymous program, how to work the steps, how to be of service, how to start trusting other human beings. It was so important in my daily life. My early sponsors, my first sponsor taught me a lot about how to bite my tongue, how to bring my voice when I need to bring my voice, how to ask for direction, how to establish a connection with my higher power, how to move through life, really. I can't imagine trying to do this without some sort of direction. My sponsor today is different. I have a different sponsor today. I know some people have the same sponsor that they've had from the beginning. That's not been my experience. But my sponsor today, for the most part, does those same things. I would not have the life that I have today without having a sponsor in my life. My sponsor today shows so much diplomacy, tact, love. She's only made me angry a couple of times, which is wonderful. My first sponsor, it was a weekly occurrence. But I can't imagine doing this program without that leadership. And not only that, with the sponsor that, you know, when I picked a sponsor, I also got all these wonderful sponsee sisters that bring so much to my life. You know, I get to watch really from around the world how they navigate. Each one of them brings something to my life that my sponsor, you know, there's a reason that we all came together, I feel, you know, and I have five sponsee sisters, and out of that, three of us have lost our fathers in this last year. And not that I would wish that on anybody. It just has, you know, it's just so much to have. It means so much to have someone going through what I've gone through, what I'm getting ready to go through. I don't feel alone, you know? And it's just made such a difference. I'm the only one in my family that's an addict, in my immediate family. And when I watch my other family members go through this, they don't have the support net that I have, you know, and it's just been, I just feel so grateful. You know, I always think about how amazing this program is that I don't have to do any of that alone. And I would certainly be making a lot more messes in my life if I didn't have that. I sponsor amazing women, and I'm always just blown away by what they're able to do. It's been an emotional week for me, so I don't want to apologize for my feelings, but to be able to reflect, I had a sponsee graduate drug court yesterday. Watching, you know, her start to put her life together is incredible. I have a sponsee that started a business a few years ago, and I remember having the conversation with her. Do I think she could do it? And I thought, how can you not? You know, you're an amazing person, and it's been a very successful thing for her. You know, I have a sponsee that's just finished a yoga certification and is taking yoga into jails.
And all of this is because of the Narcotics Anonymous program, you know, and it also doesn't have anything to do with me. It's them sharing their life with me, and I get to share my life with them. My sponsors, my sponsees have picked me up several times in this program. I feel like we're on the same, you know, we're on the same. It's not a step down. They help me, I help them. It's a two-way street. Some of my earlier, you know, the decision to ask to find a new sponsor for me was very difficult. In each step of the way, I originally had a male sponsor. I come from a place that there were no females. There wasn't Narcotics Anonymous. You know, I started the Narcotics Anonymous group in my hometown. I wanted a Narcotics Anonymous program to work that. I had no options, you know. I had met someone in serving the local area, and I asked that person to sponsor me, and it was not a problem. It was a long distance sponsorship, and I got so much out of that first relationship. I learned some of those same values I use today. I was able to sit with that sponsor weekly, you know, on the phone. This was before technology of video calls, and that sponsor always picked up the phone. And I tried to do that today. You know, that sponsor taught me how to be a sponsor. When that relationship, I don't want to say the relationship wasn't working. It's just that because of the gender difference, I knew it was time to find a female sponsor. I had met other women in the program, and I asked another sponsor, you know, because I started not telling that person things because of their gender, I wanted to get in a relationship, you know. This is a few years into it, and I stopped sharing freely, and I knew it was time to find a woman sponsor. That sponsor, then the next sponsor, I got so much out of. I learned so much, you know, and that sponsor decided to not go to Narcotics Anonymous anymore. And that was that was one of the things that I needed in a sponsor. The criteria, I guess I should say, I wanted a sponsor that's working their Narcotics Anonymous program. And I wanted a sponsor, you know, that how could I get something from a person? How could I get a Narcotics Anonymous program from a person that's not working a Narcotics Anonymous program? And so I had to find another sponsor, you know, and where I'm from is very rural. And so I've never had a sponsor in the same town as me. Like I said, technology's really helped, you know, really helped us with that. But we were still able to do things, you know, over the phone. I would sit and do my step work. My first sponsor, I would write it out, you know, put it in the mail, and I would get it returned back to me with things written on it. And I still have that step work today. So this last time to change sponsors, it was, I agonized over the decision for a couple of years. I knew the relationship with the previous sponsor, the relationship was still good. You know, I still was learning things from her, but there was availability issues. And what really got me was one of my sponsees said, the things that I said, I want a sponsor that's working with a sponsor in Narcotics Anonymous. And that was the push that I needed to ask my current sponsor, who I've been working with for, I believe, about 8 years. This current sponsor has been so supportive of me. She gives me the most valuable thing, I think, which is her time, whether, you know, whatever that looks like. And I'm sorry, I just got a chat and it just so sorry about that. She like I said, she's only made me mad a couple of times, but the things about that is she was right in those instances. I just wasn't ready to hear it. And it stopped. It really put a stop to the mess I was about to make, you know, this person has been so supportive of me every step of the way. And with that, I learned how to be supportive of my sponsees, you know, every step of the way. I don't have to make the decisions for them. I get to support the decisions they make. I get to be a sounding board. You know, I get to be one of the quotes I've heard around here. It's not, I don't believe it's in our literature. I don't think that it is, but it's hard to see the picture from inside the frame. And for me, that's what a sponsor really does for me. Like I said, I would, you know, the having someone have faith and believe in me and telling me that I can do the things that are on my heart, and showing me how. And, you know, it's invaluable. I owe everything to my sponsor and my previous sponsor. So I believe my time's about up. Thank you so much for asking me to share. That's all I have.
Carla, thank you so much for that beautiful message. And I'll now introduce you to our next speaker, who is Wendell.
Can you hear me? I'm an addict in recovery. My name is Wendell. And it is nothing short of an honor to be asked to participate with you guys today. I want to thank all those who are doing service, keeping this thing called Recovery and Narcotics Anonymous available to those that are seeking recovery a day at a time. So listen, right? Like, first and foremost, my clean date is April the 18th, 1988. Past April, I celebrated 35 years clean in Narcotics Anonymous, and for that, I'm truly grateful. And I've had the pleasure of being sponsored by the same gentleman for...
I'm sorry, can you please slow down, sir, for the translators? I would appreciate it. Thank you so much.
I'm sorry. I've been fortunate, I said, to have been sponsored by the same gentleman for roughly about 31 years. That's been an amazing journey and experience for me thus far. Didn't really give too much thought about like what I was gonna share, so to speak, but something did come to, I guess I could say it came to light. My home group was this morning, and it was a home group member celebrating. And one of the gentlemen that I have the pleasure of sponsoring came up to me after the meeting was over. And he said, listen, the guy came up and asked me, would I be able to, you know, think about sponsoring him? Now, mind you, this gentleman that I'm talking about that I sponsor, is he'll be celebrating his first miracle year at the end of this month. And so one of the things that our sponsorship pamphlet talks about, what a sponsor isn't, right, is it says, we are not reformers, preachers of the gospel, welfare workers, part-time social workers, marriage counselors, money lenders, employment counselors, or parole officers. It is important to remember that we are also suffering addicts. And so when I thought about, you know, him asking me that question, the first thing that came to my mind, and this is, you know, something that I got directly from my sponsor and from, you know, attending a lot of meetings over the years and hearing this same suggestion being given to, you know, other recovering addicts, and that is, you know, refer them or suggest that they read the sponsorship pamphlet, right? Because my first thought was to say, well, listen, you haven't, because we're about to go over his fourth step. And my first response in my head was to say, well, listen, you don't have 12-step experience, right? So like, I know I've heard other members share where they've taken on sponsorship of someone who was maybe one step behind them and found themselves rushing through their steps because they had a sponsee who was on their heels in their step work. And so, you know, I thought it was a good idea. I thought it was a good suggestion, like I said, to suggest that he read the sponsorship pamphlet and get some clarity and get some, you know, understanding about what a sponsor is, what a sponsor isn't, you know, who should be a sponsor, and things of that nature. So I just found that to be kind of funny that came up on, you know, on this morning and having to do this commitment. So to briefly talk about like my experience with sponsorship, it's been trying at times. It's always been rewarding. There's been, you know, through my own personal relationships with gentlemen that I sponsor, through situations that I've gone through with my own, you know, with my sponsor. And I think there were like two situations that come to mind where one was like directly related to sponsorship and the other situation was related to something that was outside of recovery, so to speak. It was about, you know, attending my wedding and my wife and I's wedding 13 years ago. And the situation came up and my feelings got hurt about the situation. And it was difficult to address that situation with my sponsor. But once I, you know, gathered up the courage to, you know, to talk to him about it. And that came from another gentleman who I respect in the program. And he just simply suggested, you know, give your sponsor a chance to make it right. And so when I talked to the bottom line was, you know, sponsors are human beings, right? They're recovering addicts. They're subject to fall short, just like myself. And we have fears, insecurities, inadequacies. And sometimes we're not able to communicate effectively where we're at or how we're feeling for fear of disappointing someone. And that's basically what that situation came down to. He didn't know how to tell me that he couldn't afford to come to my wedding. And, you know, after discussing it and talking about some alternative ways that he could have gotten there, like we were able to get past that situation. But what I learned from that was, like I said, the suggestion that I got, because to be honest with you, I was ready to like get another sponsor. Like I was like, yo, dude, like I, because it happened on the day of the wedding. It wasn't like it was a heads up. It happened on the day of the wedding. And so, but like I said, we talked through it and we were able to get past that. But in dealing with, you know, some of the men that I've been, you know, fortunate to sponsor, yeah, in this process, it's been, you know, very, very rewarding. I've learned that sponsorship is truly a two-way street, right? Like I can, you know, without any hesitation, say that I've gotten as, you know, much out of being a sponsor as I have, you know, sponsoring. You know, it's the joy that comes from, you know, watching someone who you've been fortunate to guide through the, you know, the 12-step process to flourish and grow in this process. And, you know, for me, I firmly believe that in order to be a good sponsor, you know, it was it was incumbent on me to be a good sponsee. And by that, I mean, you know, like take the suggestions, you know, because one of the things that I was told when I got here was that, like, you know, you're going to find that the suggestions that you are not willing to take or not willing to listen to are going to be the ones you end up paying for, you know. So guidance and direction has always been important to me. My sponsor still challenges me to be the best person that I can be. He is still a vision of hope for me. He still has what I want. I want what my sponsor has. Check this out. Like, I want what my sponsor has, but I don't want to be my sponsor. Like, and he's taught me to, you know, to be my own person, right? To have thoughts, to be able to think for myself, and to be able to make decisions that that the decisions I make today, when I wake up tomorrow, I want to be happy that I made that decision. I want to regret a decision tomorrow that I made today. Step work is still, you know, is still imperative for me. I'm in, you know, right now I'm on a 10th step, you know, taking, you know, a personal inventory. And, you know, my sponsor and I, it's a long distance relationship. We used to live in the same, you know, same town up until about 15 years ago. And so things have changed in the, you know, the way that we do step work, even now, more so with the Zoom platform and with like email. Like, now my step work is, you know, like I do my step work and I email it to him, and he'll, you know, go over it, and then, you know, we'll set up a time to go over the phone and talk about, you know, the stuff that I've written, and, you know, he'll point some stuff out, and, you know, I'm able to take a, you know, take a real good look. And what I found for me, that process of, you know, sitting down and emailing and the correspondence, for me, and this is just my experience, it seems to have been a game changer, you know, because I'm able to really, really sit down and focus on, you know, the questions, focus on the experience, the emotion in the moment of, like, when I'm doing that work. And so I just find that to be vital for me today. My sponsor, you know, is still involved with service. And that's, you know, one of the things that even, you know, with, you know, the time that I have in the program, like, you know, continuing to give back, continuing to try to pay it forward, on a, you know, really, really, like, on the group level. Just, you know, chaired my home group this morning, you know, so the group level is still important to me. It's just, you know, I could go on and on, you know, about, you know, the rewards of sponsorship. You know, I heard it said that, you know, if you're sponsoring yourself, you got a fool for a sponsor, right? And so, like, I have the fortune, I've been fortunate that I haven't been without a sponsor in the 35 years that I've been here. I don't know where I would be, you know, without the guidance of the sponsor that I got. You know, I respect my sponsor. I admire him and I respect him. And he still, like I said, has what I want, and someone who I'm grateful for his guidance and his direction. And so, you know, again, I want to thank you guys for having me. This is like, I don't know, it's awesome. You know what I mean? I didn't even, like, expect this, you know, but I really appreciate all the work that you guys do. I thank everyone that's on the platform for a kind a thumbs up or just, you know, being attentive. And I look forward to hearing the rest of the speakers share their experience, strength, and hope. So thanks for having me.
Thank you, Wendell. And Wendell's from North Carolina. So our next speaker is Louise from the United Kingdom.
Hello, I'm Louise and I'm an addict. Thank you ever so much for asking me to come along and share. And I, you know, I've just got so much from the speakers that have gone before me. I'll just set my timer because I can talk. So, sorry, I should have got a bit more prepared. So I came into Narcotics Anonymous 20 years ago. I came and stayed 20 years ago. My first experience with Narcotics Anonymous was 96. And I did the classic, you're not like me, I'm different. I've just got a thing to confirm my speaking language, which I have already done. Please do let me know if I talk too fast. So when I kind of came into Narcotics Anonymous, I was quite impressionable and I would hear people talking about having the same sponsor. I thought that was going to be my experience. And it hasn't been my experience. I did drug treatment, and as part of this drug treatment, we had to go around the room each week and say whether we'd done voluntary work, whether we had a sponsor, whether we had a commitment. And in hindsight, it was quite shameful because I came into recovery. I'd had a broken hip that had gone undiagnosed. I had hepatitis C. I'd been in and out of prison. I didn't have care of my children. I was so damaged. And all of that devastation, degradation led me not to trust anybody. So it was really difficult for me to take that first step. And then the lady I asked her experience, and Wendell shared about it. So she wasn't through the whole steps herself. And her only experience was of the step working guide. And I really, really struggled. And I made the difficult decision to change sponsor. And like I said, I'd internalized that I needed to have one sponsor and I needed to have them for the whole of my life. But, you know, my second sponsor gave me my first 5 years of recovery. She taught me how to be a woman. She taught me the self-care. She taught me how to reach out to other women. I mean, honestly, you know, I believe this woman truly saved my life and gave me a life. You know, she gave me her time. It was unconditional. You know, and I'll never forget reading my first step 4 and 5 out with her and just that level of intimacy, you know, and she really taught me that self-care and that nurture. And, you know, we got to the point So for me, our step 12, and I'm going to talk about that a bit in a minute. Our step 12 says having had a spiritual awakening, and so for me, it was really, really important that I didn't sponsor until I had that spiritual awakening, till I was fully able to give somebody what had freely been given to me. And just around my 2 years recovery birthday, somebody asked me to sponsor them, and I was about to go for a major hip surgery and had a lot of change go on, but
sorry, could you please a bit not so quick, thank you.
So this lady asked me to sponsor her when I was 2 years in recovery. And again, this for me, sponsoring others is really where this program comes alive. You know, being able to pass on things that were given to me and to see another woman flourish. And you know, I like the analogy of the caterpillar turning into the butterfly, of young women coming in and turning it like dysfunctional teenagers almost emotionally and just flourishing as women. And I guess for me, that's been my biggest joy in recovery, is learning how to be a sponsee and learning how to sponsor. And I've had sponsees for a very short space of time who weren't able to hear what I had to share. I had sponsees that have relapsed. I've had sponsees that I've had for 4 or 5 years. One of my blessed sponsees now, she, when she came into recovery, she had life-threatening illnesses and she wasn't supposed to make her 30th birthday. And people wouldn't, like, she asked lots of women to sponsor her, but they wouldn't because everybody thought she was going to die. And she's, you know, when I take a step back, it's such a privilege and an honor, and it's just a joy to see this, you know, the broken little girl she was now and was, and you know, and for me, there was a lot of stuff that was outside my scope and remit as a sponsor. So I encouraged her to get outside help, as, you know, I know my limitations. I'm not a counsellor, I'm not a social worker, etc. You know, and I just wanted to, Nick's going to put a flyer up for prison sponsorship. And I just want to talk about my experience with that, because for the last three or four years, I've been an active member of the UK Prison Sponsorship Committee. And oh my goodness, this has taken my recovery to a whole nother level. To actually write to women that have reached out to UK Service Office and asked for a sponsor and the UK Prison Sponsorship Committee, and just to be able to, and it's so easy. I don't, like, my hands are really damaged from injecting, but I've got this app and I can just talk my letter into this app and send it to the prison. And then a few days or a day later, the girls get it. And I mean, what, there is nothing more privileged or honoured than taking girls that are in prison through the 12 steps. You know, when one of my prison sponsees got out in April this year, and again, she's just living life on life's terms. You know, when I was in prison, we didn't have, you know, NA came in, but it was one meeting a week. There wasn't prison sponsorship, and I would go out of prison each time determined that I wasn't going to go back in. And I did that revolving door for 7 years with horrendous consequences, you know. And I have to reiterate what a sponsor is, what a sponsor isn't, you know, and link people into the local areas, you know. And I think, you know, for me, it's everybody I came into contact with said I would die using addict on the street if I was lucky. And my prison worker, who was so boundaried at the time, my prison worker and my prison nurse, the prison worker always used to talk to me about 12-step fellowships, and the prison nurse diagnosed me with Hep C back in 2001. You know, and both of those people, I had the privilege last year in my work of giving a bit about my experience, about where I came from and where I am now. And both of those women were in the audience, you know, and for the professionals that are involved with people who use drugs and people who inject drugs, they tend to just see the revolving door. You know, so for me, it's it's a really big part of my recovery, you know, and sponsoring people that are in prison, it isn't, you know, it's not service where you're seen, it's not service where you're heard, it's not service where everybody's going, oh, look at her, she's got 27 sponsees, you know, it's just been really humbling, and it helps me get in touch with myself, and it helps me stay focused on you know, on where I started. You know, everybody said that I would die, and you know, I was in and out of prison for 7 years. Devastation, degradation. Sponsorship has perhaps been the biggest part of my recovery. You know, I feel privileged. I feel absolutely privileged when women share stuff with me. And you know, my first sponsor that gave me my 5 years, her catchphrase was, when it gets painful, when it gets painful enough, you'll do something about it, Louise. And I've now got my sponsees saying those same messages. And yeah, it just blows me away. Thank you so much for asking me to share. I really, really hope I haven't talked too fast and people could hear my message. Thank you.
Louise, thank you very much for your lovely message. And our next and final speaker is Hamed from the World Board. He's from Kuwait, but we're here in Los Angeles. Over to you, Hamed. I'm sorry, he's not our final speaker. He's our second final speaker. Over to you, Hamed.
Good morning, everyone. Good afternoon. Thank you for having me. My name is Hamed. I'm an addict, and I'm grateful to be here with you all today. It's very, very intimidating speaking in front of 300 plus people on a very bad hair day. So I was worried and I was trying to think of what to say, but I was so immersed in everybody's sharing that I sort of forgot that I had to prepare and think about what I need to say. But there is, I was remembering when I first got back home and I went into a meeting. When I first walked in, there was this guy that was sitting in a chair and he looked at me and he smiled so hard. He smiled like from ear to ear. And I remember my first thought was, what is wrong with his stupid face? Why is he smiling like that? And I sat down in the meeting, and after the meeting finished, we started cleaning up, putting things back into the box. And I started walking out, and this guy that smiled at me came up to me and he's like, hey, Hamed, can I talk to you? And my first immediate thought was, oh my God, how do I run away from this situation? He started asking me questions. He started talking to me. And basically he said, what do you have now? I said, I got to go home. He's like, why? What do you have? I was like, I just need to go home. I have things to do. He's like, come sit with me. Let's have a cup of coffee. I'm like, no, I really can't. He's like, it's just 5 minutes. Don't worry about it. I said, okay. We ordered coffee. We sat down. And I remember 3 hours later, I just realized that I was rambling to this person that I barely knew for 3 hours. And he was just sitting there smiling and listening. And then he asked me, do you have a sponsor? I said, no. He said, okay, I'm volunteering to be your sponsor. And again, my immediate thought was, oh, this person wants something from me. You know, he wants something. Nothing you know, what does he want? I have no idea what he wants. And I said, okay, because I didn't know how to say no. I said, okay, you're my sponsor. I went home and I remember my mother asked me, so how was the meeting? I said, okay, it was good. And she's like, did anything special happen? I said, yeah, I have a sponsor. And she said, okay, what does a sponsor do? I said, I have no idea what a sponsor does. I just have one. And I didn't go to the meeting again for like maybe a month and a half. And I get this call from someone and I answer. And it's this beautiful soul that smiled at me when I first walked into the meeting. He said, hey, where have you been? I was like, yeah, I've been busy. You know, I couldn't come. And he's like, what have you been doing? What's up? Said nothing much, staying at home. He said, well, it doesn't seem like you're busy. I said, no, trust me, I'm busy. And he's like, you know what? Give me your address. I'm going to come pick you up and take you to a meeting. And I was like, what the hell is wrong with this person? Like, what does he want with me? And basically, I had to get dressed and, you know, get ready for this guy that I barely knew. Come pick me up, take me to a meeting. And then after the meeting, we spent another an hour and a half talking. And then he took me back home. And that was, I mean, that was mind-blowing. Like, he didn't ask me for anything. He didn't want anything. He just told me, please come, please keep coming back to the meeting. And that was really, really, you know, incomprehensible to me that somebody would do that for another human being. Months go by, I start working the steps with this person. And I start, you know, as soon as I start working the steps, there's this fear of, you know, when you get to step four, this person is going to know all my secrets and he's going to, you know, post them on the internet and everybody's going to know what I've done. It's, you know, it's something unfathomable and I didn't want to be part of that. And I avoided this person for a very long time until I got the guts to actually do it. And I didn't want to do it immediately. I wanted to do it, you know, gradually. So I gave him a little bit of my fourth step. I didn't give him everything. And he smiled and he listened. We talked through it. And he's like, is that all you have? I was like, yeah, that's all I have. And basically all I had was I once stole a candy from a store. And he didn't judge me. He didn't say anything. He said, okay, fine. And basically a couple of months go by and I realized that I was lying to myself more than I was lying to him. And I realized from his patience and his undeniable love to me that I could trust this person, that I could gain trust and I could build a relationship with this person. And I went back to him and I said, I want to share my fourth step completely with you. And basically, this is when I started to believe in a very, very paradoxical program that in my mind should not work. And I had no idea why this program worked. I had no idea why this person was giving me all this time and his unconditional love. And it was after a couple of months later when I realized that, and basically Carla and Louise, they you know, they said a couple of things of that. I want to read an excerpt from our basic text about on step 12. And it says, the spiritual void we felt at the beginning of our recovery has been filled with gratitude, unconditional love, and a desire to be of service to God and to others. Undeniably, we have experienced a spiritual awakening. In order to cultivate this awakening, we have found it essential to express our gratitude and practice the principles of recovery in every area of our lives. And then it goes on to say, we must ask ourselves, what is the message we are trying to carry? And basically, when I read that, when I started reading that, when I started to think about it, what is the message that I want to carry? That was something that took so much time and deep thought. This one little sentence, you know, broke my mind and, you know, broke the way I was thinking. Because to me, I mean, I've had a couple of sponsors, but I have one official sponsor that I work the steps with. And I have hundreds of unofficial sponsors. And what I mean by that is I have people that I look up to, whether in service, whether in recovery, whether in how they deal with other people, and what they do, you know, one addict helping another. You know, I have sponsors that basically inspire me to add that value to my life, because honestly speaking, if it wasn't for my official sponsor and all my unofficial sponsors, I would be dead today. I would be dead somewhere in a ditch, maybe in jail. I don't know. I mean, if I was lucky, I would probably be dead. If I was unlucky, I would be suffering somewhere on the streets, or I would be in jail. And, you know, I'm very lucky to be sharing with all of you guys today. And I'm very, very lucky that Tom, I'm going to bring you up, that is on the panel of speakers, is going to be sharing today, because there is this one thing that I want to say is that I remember once we were serving somewhere, and God bless her soul, Tali was there, Tom was there, and we were going through, you know, how business meetings go. It was a bad time. People were fighting, shouting. And after the meeting, I remember these two beautiful souls, they came together and they hugged each other and they were smiling and they were laughing and they were talking. And I was like, oh my God, that was mind blowing. And this might be something that Tom might remember or might not remember, but I went up to them and I asked them and I said, how do you guys do it? Like, how do you do that? And I remember they said, we do it because we love it and we're just giving back to what was given to us. This is something that we don't do. A sponsor, and this is also in the sponsorship book, that a sponsor is a teacher who teaches by example and by experience. And when I think of that, and when I think of how one addict helping another can go so far into the future, how one addict helping another can save my life and many, many other lives is a miracle, is nothing less than a miracle. And when I go back and I think about that sentence of what is the message that I want to carry, And that message is very simple to me. However, that simplicity can save millions and millions of lives. So I want to end by two things of saying that one small act of generosity can work wonders beyond our imagination and beyond what we could ever think. What we do and what we say and how much we give back unconditionally can work wonders of saving people's lives. And that is the message that I want to carry, because that is the message that was carried to me. Saying all that, speaking in front of 300 plus people is not enough, because I'm very, very grateful to all of you. And I want to say that to all the millions of addicts out there that are doing that one small act of generosity. I'll end there. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Hamed, for your beautiful message. And next I call on the fifth of our six speakers today, and that is Mohammed from Iran. Welcome, Mohammed.
Hello, my name is Mohammed and I'm an addict. صدات میاد. من
به عنوان یک معتادی که عضوی از این
as an addict در حال بهبودی هستم in this fellowship thankful to my higher power, and I'm so happy for being a member of Narcotics Anonymous. The way I look at this miracle is that when I came to the program, I was homeless. I was familyless. I didn't have any family. And the family I had, they didn't like me. And ever since when I was born, when I was growing up in my family, I didn't have a sponsor who could sponsor me and who could show me the ways, the correct ways in the life. And a person I didn't have to show me the way to go and change my life. The path was always hard for me in those days. But the power of the program was helping me. And the good thing was about this program that through somebody else, I got the help which I needed. And even these days, even now, I've got a sponsor for the last past 25 years. And I trusted that person throughout working the steps and the principle hidden in the steps. This relation helped me to trust and to open up myself and to say about myself and my problems, and also showed me when I am in a position as a sponsor for others. I've learned from my sponsor. For running away from my feelings, I always was going to sort of kill myself, sort of destroy myself, but my sponsor helped me to accept myself, not to destroy myself, not to ruin my life, to accept my bad points and weak points and my good points, and also carry my life in a good, correct way. The most important thing for me these days is that I am thankful and grateful for having you guys, having the fellowship and the feelings I experience right now is beyond the words. The experiences that I've heard from you and you've shared with me helped me to put my life on the right side and the right track. And these days when I wake up, I don't harm anybody, especially my family. I believe these principles of our program, Narcotics Anonymous, is amplified by thousands of members in this fellowship, and is multiplied by those. And the most important responsibility that I feel on my shoulder is that I have to keep the unity, and I have to keep this fellowship as my family, and same as that, I try to treat my families the way I've been taught through the steps. These days, I stop behind the red traffic light and the other things the same. I try to try to listen to my sponsor, and I try my best to practice what my sponsor tells me, and his experiences from applying the 12 steps in his life. And so I learned a lot from him, and the 12th step that he practices in his life. These principles gives me a power beyond the words, beyond the human power. I've learned I have to work hard for my recovery. Recovery is not easy. I have to listen, I have to surrender, and learning doesn't end. And these things are the things that I, as a recovery addict, I respect. I also have a brother. He's been in this program for years, and that's a gift of God and gift of this program. Sponsor gives me help to go on a easy road, easy path. I'm happy that I'm living today. I'm alive, and I'm happy that with my own willingness, I would like to change my life, to change my behaviors. And these days I understand where I am and where I am coming from. یک دقیقه دیگه بیشتر وقت نداری، وقت تمامه.
سهم من چیه برای این؟ سهم من بابت این کمک چیه؟ سهم من اینه که نسبت به برنامه اهمیتی که میدن اینه که بتونم سهم با عشق
is to carry the message with love to the others. Thank you very much for giving me the time to share. I love you all. Thank you.
Mohammed, thank you very much. And also to Saeed for translating. And that finally brings us to last but not least, Tom M. from Hawaii.
Hello, children. My name is Tom and I'm an addict. Yeah, so some of us get to call you children. So I've earned that title. And it's nice to see you guys on the World Board there. I spent many years in that torture chamber. I'm glad you guys have taken your place. Thank you very much for asking me to share on this. I was thinking about, I was counting the number of sponsors I've had over 54 years. And I've actually had seven sponsors. They've all passed away. So right now I don't have a sponsor because my sponsor just passed away, a year and a half ago. And I haven't found another sponsor. But, with my track record of all my sponsors passing away, I don't think too many people are eager to get in line, because it might mean like, it's like, okay, you're next, man. You're going to be long for this world if you sponsor me. I've been so fortunate, so blessed. I've had unbelievable people in my life, that have taken on that role as a sponsor, and it is, it's a role. It's a privilege, yeah. And it's a responsibility, but it's a role. It's like there's many roles we have in Narcotics Anonymous. And that's one, and it's a big one. I kind of believe in the that old Buddhist saying. I think it's Buddhism, it could be Zen, I don't know what the hell, but where it says, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. And And for me, that's what's happened, you know, from the very beginning. Somebody has stepped up into my life and was able to take me to a place in my spiritual growth to where I needed to go, you know. And so I've had all kinds of different kinds of sponsors, you know, that met all kinds of different needs in my life at the time. You know, the very first person who, well, you know, I have to call her my sponsor, even though I never asked her to be my sponsor, but she certainly played that role, you know, in a way that was pretty significant. There's a history, you know, of you know, I looked up the history. Where did the whole sponsorship concept come from? You know, and I looked back into the AA, you know, program, and and actually, in the beginning, a sponsor was somebody who introduced somebody into a spiritual way of life. And even the founder of the AA program always kept the same guy who had sponsored him, had told him about, you know, the possibility that you can get into recovery, you know, through practicing spiritual principles. He always referred to that guy as his sponsor, even though that guy relapsed and never really ever, you know, got back into recovery. But he always referred to him as a sponsor, as the original person. So it's an interesting, you know. And then of course, you know, sponsorship has morphed into, you know, meaning a lot of different things to a lot of different people. This woman who she literally found me on a beach and brought me to her home and introduced me to this way of life, was magical. I mean, and the things that she taught me about the basics of this program and the principles, you know, set the stage for my whole recovery. She was very fundamental about recovery. She believed that the 12 steps were an antidote to a poison that was in our system called the disease. At any minute, this disease was going to kill us. And these 12 steps was an antidote. Don't waste no time in taking it. You know, and so she, you know, literally pushed me right into the 12 steps within my first week and a half, you know, clean. And she, you know, and she told me about, you know, because this was in Hawaii and there was no NA in Hawaii. And she told me there was a program in Hawaii, in California. It was very small. Little did I know there was less than 20 meetings in the whole world at the time. And eventually I moved back to California and I started attending NA meetings after I was clean for 7 months. And I chose a sponsor there. It was a guy named Bob Barrett, this black man who had a lot of clean time back then. You know, he had like, you know, seven years, which was a lot of clean time. And you know, and he became huge, hugely significant in my early recovery. I did my first fourth and fifth step with him, and when you know, in a way, you know, the way it worked, I thought I was just going to give him my notebook full of all my stuff, and he just pushed it back at me. He says, "No, you read it." And oh man, I didn't want to read the stuff I put down in there, because, you know, it was one of those four steps, you know, where you write down all the horrible stuff you've done in your life, you know, I mean, stuff you don't even want to. Anybody to ever know. And, you know, the kind of stuff where you want to say, like, if I tell you this stuff, I'm going to have to kill you afterwards, because no one else can know about this. And you know, and he sat there and listened, man. And stage showed up in my life, you know. And you know, later on, you know, I moved back to Hawaii, and another person appears in my life. You know, because back then you couldn't even make long distance phone calls back then. It was so expensive. And each one brought me to a different phase, you know, a different level of my growth in this program. You know, I mean, sure, you know, I was young, you know, I was 21 years old when I got clean. And when I was about 24, I got married and started having children, you know, you know, there's certain things you can't bring to certain sponsors about, but things like raising children, you know, it's like you have to find other people to do that, which thankfully, you know, I was able to do. You know, when I first started sponsoring people, you know, at first I didn't want to be a sponsor. I thought when someone would ask me, would you be my sponsor? I would immediately brush it off and say, well, no, I'll be your friend. You know, I didn't want to take the responsibility of that. I didn't even know what it meant, to tell you the truth. And then someone explained to me what it meant. It meant you're taking on a role. It says, you know, if you're the secretary of a group, you're taking on a role. If you're the coffee maker, you've taken on a role. You're just stepping up to a new role in this fellowship. And this next role is to be a sponsor to, you know. And of course, if you're looking for a sponsor, it's important to make sure you're actually sponsible. You know, I mean, that's a little, I don't know how that translates, but you got to be responsible enough to allow someone to come into your life and give you direction. You know, to me, I've always allowed a sponsor to be the one person who can tell me maybe what I don't want to hear, and I'm going to do what they tell me. They'll have that permission. You know, other people are probably, you know, like, you know, won't do that. But I always allow one person, and then I always allow at least one person. And in my life, it's always been many, to know everything about what's going on in my life. No secrets, no matter how humiliating is going on. I always gave the full account of what's going on with me. And because I believe what they said, that our secrets are what will kill us. And you know, a lot of us come into these rooms and we think we have trust issues because of our past, you know, and people we've trusted, and they betrayed us and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, if you think you have trust issues, you know, we turn that stuff around here in the program. You know, we don't call it trust issues anymore. We call it courage issues. You have to have courage now. You know, go beyond what you fear, you know, and trust in somebody and give somebody, you know, the ability to help us. You know, I've had the sponsors, you know, who have listened to my stuff, you know, when I was, you know, totally stuck in, you know, in certain patterns and behaviors in my life, and they listened to me, and then I had this one sponsor that just says, one day he says, you know, Tom, it's time to put up or shut up, because you ain't changing, you know, and sometimes it takes the kind of courage to do that with each other, is that say, look, you know what, it's time to put up or shut up, you know, because you're stuck, you know, somehow you got to get a hold of some kind of spiritual lubricant or astroglide or something to get yourself unstuck, because you can't stay in this place, you know, if nothing changes, nothing changes. And, I took down some notes. I hate taking down notes because I never follow it. And I also believe we all sponsor one another, you know, we do in one form or another, we all sponsor one another, you know, it's, you know, like I said, right now, I don't have a so-called sponsor, but I am so completely engaged in this fellowship and in this recovery program that, you know, I know the right person will come and I'll be okay. You know, I'm okay today. You know, it's, you know, there's a secret we have here in Narcotics Anonymous, you know, that we don't talk about much, that there is recovery. You know, we do all this work, all this step work, you know, all this other work. We do it for a reason, so we can get free, you know, so we can be okay with ourselves. And, and to a large degree, that's what's true in my life. I think I got 1 minute left. Okay, man. But look at, you know, Yeah, you know, the men that I sponsor, you know, been unbelievable people. You know, some I can't do any good with. You know, they're just and I joke, you know, sometimes I'll get somebody a sponsor who's been around for a while, and he'll ask me to be a sponsor, and I say okay, and he'll say, well, what do you think? You think we should start going through the 12 steps again? And I'll jokingly say, well, you know, it didn't help you the last time, you know. When we just get to the fucking point, you know, what's going on in your life, you know, and, you know, because, you know, applying these principles, you know, is more important than going through a set of steps that, answering questions and shit. Let's get to the point. Let's get to recovery. You know, what are you doing in your life? You know, how are you talking to yourself? You know, and are you giving back? Because, you know, if we're not giving back here, you know, we've completely missed the whole thing, you know, because that's what this whole thing is all about. We get here and we get, and then it comes a time there's no more to get. It's time to give back, you know. So you're good. I want to thank you all. Hope you all have good sponsors. Hope you all have good sponsees. And that's it for me, man. Ciao.
Love you, Tom. Love you, Tom. Okay, so that brings us to the end of today's sponsorship webinar. Want to thank all the 370 or so people who participated. Big shout out to all our translators and all the staff at NA World Services who make these webinars possible. We're going to turn on the microphone for the conference room and say goodbye from all of the World Board here in Los Angeles.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
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 See you. Adios.
Love you guys.
Gracias.
Thank you, everybody, for your service.
Hi. I hope you all have a lovely Christmas. Isn't it wonderful?